comment first of all that what Dr. Augustine said is by summarizing all this took a lot of time. If you try to do this, if you try to write several sentences on each section, it takes time. It takes probably 10 minutes to do each section, and you get about 10 or 15 of them, so that's like 2.5 hours, I'm guessing. I know if I were doing it, it would take that much time. What's the point? You remember it. If you don't write anything down, you'll forget it all. One example, I didn't ask people to do this in their assignments, but I did it myself. I went through all the terms, and I wrote them down, and I tried to write the meaning of the terms. And some of them I had no idea. I just guessed. And then when I looked at the real meaning, I thought, wow, I was way off. I read it all. I read every word, but I just forgot it. So unless you actually take a little effort to write things down, you forget it so easily. So you have to put a little effort into it, is the point. One way that helps me a lot in my studies is to keep a notepad nearby, and after I finish, if I'm expected to write a book review in a seminary class, this helps immensely. If after a chapter, I write down everything I remember, or a section. In this case, a section, because it's kind of thick. It's a broad survey, but there's a lot of detail, and it's easy to forget. Okay, what was the point of that paragraph? Polygenism, what is that? And if I'm reading it for the first time, I wouldn't know. So, to jot down even a couple things about each paragraph, and then when you get to the end of the chapter, and you write it all down. I would advise you, everyone, to do that if you could, and just outside of the assignment of just answering the questions, to write your own brief summary like you've done here. And that way it'll really stick and really you'll remember these things, and I think they will be helpful in time. They seem impractical and not useful, but these things come up actually. They will come up when you meet a Lutheran student. Well, what do Lutherans believe? It'll help you immensely to understand what a general Lutheran believes, or Methodist, or Presbyterian, or Catholic. And just to understand the student better, it'll help immensely. And especially if they start engaging in any of these things, they'll know what they're talking about. That's just kind of fun.
One thing, Gnosticism. Commonly, when we study the epistles, Gnosticism is coming out whenever I read something. Is not Gnosticism originated from Christianity in a way it became heretical teaching, or was it already there in Greek philosophy in a way from the beginning when Paul wrote those letters? Already those ideas were dangerous in a way. Paul was responding to that. Do I make sense to you?
The Gnosticism is presented in the Bible, actually, that it's a two-stage, all stage, the stage. So, not fully developed. Gnosticism in the Bible is fully developed. Because, like you see, in the second century, fully developed, and everywhere, we can hear about Gnosticism. Actually, Greek philosophy has already tendency of the thinking of Gnosticism. Because, Greek philosophy, as we study, doesn't respect our father's dimension much.
Who is the Greek philosopher who really started about Gnosticism, idea about Gnosticism?
As you read, as I said, Greek philosophy has always a tendency in it. As you read, Socrates, he didn't have any fear of his death, but I believe from my previous
you have written here that Arminius of Lyon exposed heretics and offended orthodoxy in the face of the challenge to Gnosticism. Yeah. Exactly, what does that involve? What is that talking about? What is the challenge?
The challenge at the time, the Nazis had many kinds of writing, and as you see, the example from Marcion,
What is that? What is he believing?
He taught Old Testament, Dutch Old Testament, Stalin Testament, two different gods. You know, one God called Old Testament, the God of law, and the God of grace. The way the authority of Suchan lived. And the most important point of Nazism, they denied the true humanity of Jesus Christ. Because, how can God come into his body? They did it, and so Nazism in Christology, Docetism is a God only appears like that. We see them like the reality,
So they would say Jesus is not actually material there. It's just some kind of spirit or some kind of image or something.
Only logos is God, and the body is not God, it's only a human being. So they spoke about logos, but they denied the body dimension.
Bodies are evil, right?
They are evil. Not the most dangerous threat to approach the Christianity.
Is it true to say that New Age, the New Age movement, is a lot like Gnosticism?
I saw, I see the same thing. The New Age movement, they believe in the soul. They been in soul. So the human soul has kind of capacity to ascend to the heaven. But they don't respect. They don't value our body very much.
So are these the ones who think that the flesh and body is always evil? And spiritual things are good?
Mm-hmm. I think that's why they often involved in
How about the dualism
means there are two ultimate different pieces of duality. We could say, yes, actually there is a spiritual principle and one physical principle, which is the physical principle is evil. It's the source of evil.
Yeah. So that's in you here, Kuan Ha. Is a relation to Gnosticism. How can you say the Kuan Ha is English?
What's going on?
Is that the same thing?
I think everything There's no new thing under the sun. My question is the best in plagiarism. Plagiarism, how does it influence some denominations of today, or does it survive?
I think as in all the conservative evangelical churches, there's no place for
plagiarism.
But as you see, the lesbians, the ladies, is the English word, appears again during the Reformation.
Reformation.
So we can say that Erasmus, who have the tendency, because the Jews rejected the Luther's
Martin Luther, because he advocated grace,
and we, our will is not cursed. So we should speak about slave will. Slave will. We don't have a
The religious believe in what? Salvation?
Salvation by works.
We have to do what we have to do. And then Martin Luther was that grace, yes, we need God's grace, we are saved. But we have to do what we have to do.
Yeah.
We have our part. That's what religion is strongly commend about the time.
We should be able to do what God commanded to do.
Yeah.
So otherwise, it's absurd. Yeah?
Yeah, that's the common will.
Yeah.
Our will.
And the liberalism, actually, all liberalism, is kind of religion.
Yeah, Schleimer and others.
Yeah. Because they don't believe that our human nature is brave and corrupt. They don't believe. And as I said, in all the conservative traditional evangelical churches, we reject this Pelagian teaching. But all I think that still today, liberal, I would say that they don't belong to traditional white Orthodox churches.
The question is to bring back the locus issue. Do you think, or how far the fourth gospel writer was trying to contextualize the existing dualism or humanism or Gnosticism or whatever, that when he used the term as a locus? In other words, how far the New Testament writing was influenced by the existing cultural predominance.
So you are now your issue is different from what is presented.
Yeah, slightly. I just bring that up just because we have the locus issue.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned of the locus. When we talk about Gnosticism, locus. That Logos was right. Logos was the divine, and then the rest of the body was the old corrupted. That's why I'm bringing how John was, John was the first who used that term in the fourth gospel. You don't have to answer that. I'm just saying.
Anyway, John, the John's Gospel, we see, is actually fight against the Nazism.
Mm-hmm.
So, Logos came.
Yes.
Just
the term they use the term novos in Jesus, who Jesus is for the people. Okay, I think we should continue to the next section. Yes,